Will you spend another summer working on your yard for your spouse, kids, and guests? Or would you rather spend the summer with your spouse, playing with the kids, and relaxing with guests? Hire Blue Duck Lawn Care to get the super healthy lawn you'll love and neighbors will envy. Blue Duck does the fertilizing and weed control. You just mow to get a lush, thick lawn. Best in your neighborhood. If it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com. Remember, if it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com.
Canadians will not send arms to Israel. Well, there you go. That's gonna do the trick. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning, dear goodness God. It is hard out here for a pimp, people. It is near impossible for people to be rational folk. It's as if they are desperate not to be. You want to support terrorists, Canada? I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty gross. But then again, everything you do under Justin Trudeau is pretty gross. Closer to home, Carmel getting a win over Fishers, as is reported. Turns out that House Enrolled Act 1454, which was signed into law last year, Marion Supreme Court Judge John Chavis says is unconstitutional. Carmel stated that the law would deprive Carmel of tens of millions of dollars in local income tax. Because I think it would have diverted income tax revenue between cities, like in this case, from Carmel to Fishers. Carmel Mayor Sue Finkham said in a statement the city would have lost about $56 million in revenue to Fishers had the law remained in effect. The judge ruling that local income tax shares for the two Hamilton County cities must be allocated as they were before the diversion from Carmel to Fishers. Ah, now I get the argument. We all pay taxes, but some pay more taxes than others. And why are they getting the other ones taxed? Ah. How does this now affect the idea? You know, Indianapolis wants the donut counties to be more supportive of Indy, right? You use Indianapolis, you use our services. You always complain about our roads. Why don't you put in a couple of bucks? I don't know how this applies. I'd be curious if this is maybe some level of foreboding. Or foreshadowing, not foreboding, foreshadowing. I'd be curious. Oh, and the communist of Indianapolis, angry with me for answering a question about Israeli politics, or I took it as Israeli politics as opposed to to being angry like him. Super weird. But when you support Hamas, I guess this is going to be the way it is, guys. There's going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of this because people haven't come to base understandings. Basics. Sometimes things are brought down here. Hamas is a terrorist organization. The only way there's peace is if they return all the hostages and surrender. Otherwise, Hamas is getting destroyed because Israel's going into Rafah. And then there's the possibility of peace. But there's no two-state solution with a group that doesn't want one. So stop being these ridiculous, weirdo, liberal freaks and stop thinking that a two-state solution is what they want. They want Israel gone. Israel says no. I'm on the side of no. You're on the side of killing. The end of the conversation. But speaking of killing, Indianapolis violence is an issue. I spoke with the new IMPD police chief, Christopher Bailey, about it. That interview coming up next. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's a new chief. Perhaps it's a new day in Indianapolis. Perhaps there's politics that prevent that from happening. But more importantly, there was this article that was over at WIBC.com. You know the people over there. Tony Katz, 93, WIBC. Good to be with you. And the article was about a shooting that took place in Broad Ripple. One person was killed, multiple people injured. And the suspect was arrested. And there was a statement from the new police chief, Christopher Bailey. And here's the quote. The IMPD cannot control security protocols at individual establishments or determine what promoters are allowed to hold events. What we can do is continue to work our Broad Ripple safety plan and have conversations with business owners to help make the village as safe as it can be. We see the violence in Indianapolis. We've seen the growth over the last years. We take a look at what's to blame, who's to blame. We talk much more about what's to blame in terms of societal as opposed to other people who might just say, well, the problem is the gun and only the gun. But I thought it interesting that the new police chief would be so clear about IMPD cannot control certain things. Chief Chris Bailey joins me right now, 25-year department veteran, now the chief of police for the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. And that quote, which I believe is accurate, is this taken to a larger extent a conversation about what IMPD's role is in Indianapolis?
Well, I believe so, and I think if you read even further into the statement that I released, you'll see that I talk about, you know, as tragic as this was, and as we try to work with businesses to do as much as we can to prevent these, the person that's ultimately responsible for what occurred is the person that decided to go in this establishment and pull the trigger. That's the person that's ultimately responsible. And so what we're trying to say is that, you know, what we've seen over the last several years is that this constant push for whether it's the mayor or the police department to solve every single bit of the violence issues just isn't going to work. Government has a role to play. The police department has a role to play. The mayor's office has a role to play. But the community and the business operators and, you know, society generally also has a role to play if we're going to be a safer community and safer society.
So let's take a look at roles, because I don't necessarily disagree with the argument, but let's take a look at roles. What is the role that you believe the IMPD plays? Forgive me for a follow-up so quickly. Does how you look at the department differ from how previous chiefs looked at the department and the role they play?
Well, yeah, the role IMPD plays, especially in if you're talking specifically to our entertainment zones, is that we are, you know, accountable for what happens outside of those places. That's my view. And, you know, we work with the state excise police when it's specific to bars and other entertainment type of venues because they have more authority over the regulations that regulate those kind of places. And so what we try to do is, one, create an environment outside of those facilities that makes it, unlikely or not as comfortable for people who have the ill intentions to come to a location, whether it's on South Meridian Street or in Broad Ripple or wherever, to do harm to our community. And I think that, I'm carrying over some of the things that Chief Taylor implemented of being very specific in our enforcement on those small number of people, places, and behaviors that are responsible for violence rather than casting these wide nets in neighborhoods like law enforcement has done in the past. But I'm going to be much more truly pointing the finger in certain circumstances where it needs to be pointed.
So in that situation, you're going to keep some policies, maybe make some changes. You talk about pointing fingers, talking to the IMPD police chief, Christopher Bailey. Who are you pointing fingers at and what are you saying when you do?
We're going to point the fingers at ourselves when it's something that we could have done better. We'll own what we own. But in this particular case in Broad Ripple, you had an establishment who was not working with the community up there. They established some things last year, some community expectations. This establishment wasn't meeting those community expectations. They were asked to. They were asked to monitor who they used to promote events, have the proper security at the door. Those type of things didn't follow those things, to my understanding. And so in this particular case, besides the person that pulled the trigger, who's ultimately responsible, how did the person get past their security inside the establishment with a gun? And so if they had been doing what they should have been doing, then this wouldn't have occurred in the first place.
Do you find yourself wanting to point fingers? I would not ask you if you're going to point a finger at the mayor or the mayor's office, but rather I would ask the question this way. If we are going to discuss violence in Indianapolis, is everybody that you consider a player, in your view, properly playing their part?
You know, I think so. I mean, the amount of investment that the city has made over the last 4 years, the mayor and the council, to try to address it, not only from a law enforcement standpoint, investing in technology that we know helps solve this case and helps solve cases every single day, but in addition to that, looking at ways to interrupt these things from happening in the first place through the Office of Public Health and Safety and the IndyPeace.org social processes to try to go at it both ways. I think there's a lot of investment from the city, and there's a lot of commitment from the city and the mayor's office and the police department. We just need more people in the community to recognize their role in this. The simple disputes do not have to end in gunfire. Those are personal decisions that people are making, that if we had a crystal ball and we could tell you that this was going to happen at this particular location because, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so are going to get into it over a parking spot out in front of their house, then I would deploy police officers to prevent that. But there's some personal responsibility here that we also have to remember in these particular incidents of violence in our city. But the mayor's office, IMPD, the council, we all have a role to play in making our city as safe as it can be.
Very often from some of these other areas that you just mentioned, we'll hear the term gun violence and the blame will go directly on the gun. I am a Second Amendment guy, a tremendous number of Second Amendment supporters and practitioners in Indianapolis and in Marion County. Is the gun to blame?
No, absolutely not. You know, I believe in the Second Amendment. I think every American should, but there is a problem with the easy access to guns from people who are prohibited from having them. There are more guns, obviously, in our country than there are people. There, and you know as well as I do, Tony, they're responsible drivers and they're irresponsible drivers. They're irresponsible gun owners and they're responsible gun owners. And sometimes the irresponsible gun owners allow their weapons to fall in the wrong hands, or they're buying them legally and giving them to people who shouldn't have them, and then they're used, in a way that we don't want guns to be used. Guns are easily accessible to the youth in our community, which every law, state and federal, prohibits. And so we have to look at that. We have to look at how these guns are getting into the hands of our youth and who we can hold accountable for that if there's a nefarious mean there, right, under the law, right? So obviously a person pulls the trigger. The gun is an object. But guns are easily accessible and they're used far too often to settle simple disputes in our community from people who don't know how to deal with their conflict.
The chief of police in Indianapolis, Christopher Bailey, I appreciate you taking the time with us. I would like to do this more often if you're available, and you can feel free to spread the word that it's not scary to do an interview with Tony Katz, and maybe more people should try it.
Well, obviously I'm not scared. You are an intimidating guy. You're a smart guy. So I could see why some people be bothered by that, but are scared of that. But I'm happy to show up and talk anytime that I'm able to, because my role as the police chief is not one party or another party or one community or another community. It's to serve the entire citizens of Indianapolis and residents and visitors. And I will talk to whomever I need to talk to work together to make our city safe.
Chief Christopher Bailey of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, I appreciate you taking the time. I got to tell you, I don't think I'm intimidating. I appreciate the smart comment. I hope it leads to other people being willing to do interviews. I did ask him if we could chat monthly, hear what's going on. He was amenable to it. Maybe we have found somebody willing to have a conversation. Hopefully it's the first of many. My thanks to Chief Bailey, Chief of the IMPD.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Dow futures down 51, NASDAQ futures up 30. I'm actually surprised there's even that much movement because the Fed is going to make statement today about rates. Not expecting any rate increase at all. Not a single one. I'd be hard-pressed to think anybody is. The inflation's up. Inflation is up. So how does the U.S., you know, think that we're going to cut rates? Bank of England is going to hold rates. But they see inflation falling. Now, their inflation rate is higher than our inflation rate. So what they may do to spur things along a little different than us, we have to focus on us. But I don't see where a rate cut is. I do dig the argument that there will be a rate cut in 2024 as a sign of hope. Right? This idea of we got to make everybody feel kind of good. We'll do a quarter point drop sometime in the summer and I'll be like, okay. You mean you'll do a drop right before the election to make Biden look good? I haven't been hypercritical on the political of Jerome Powell and all the conversations that we've had, Chairman of the Federal Reserve. I haven't had a need to, but let's not make the assumption that a move to help an election is not out of the realm of possibility, because that would be that would be nuts. Meanwhile, Bitcoin, which was over 70,000, hit 60,000. Now it's 64,000. Full disclosure, I own not enough Bitcoin to count. Fractional amounts. If I owned a full coin, I would tell you. Because if I'm talking about the things, I should say the things. I don't. That said, crypto has had in a lot of places a pretty good run over the last month or so. I think it's interesting, though, that you can have a coin that, or this investment, however you people want to put it. It shed, this is a great headline from CNBC, $400 billion worth of value. And everyone's like, huh? Like, that's it? I find that absolutely fascinating. Fascinating that there's just like it doesn't move anything. It doesn't change anything. What changes things, I think, is credit scores. As we were discussing it earlier, credit scores are down. Credit card debt at $1.13 trillion last quarter, and credit scores are down because people are utilizing more of their credit cards to pay for the everyday things because of this economy. How is this not leading us to disaster, to an implosion this year? It's going to take another year? I don't know, man. These numbers bother me every day. Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning. Traffic on the fives. Matt Bear, what are you doing?
South of Zion crash westbound 465. It's between 31 and Harding, right around South Meridian Street. And the left lane is closed by several vehicles that wrecked. And traffic is jammed right now past US 31. Delay time is just 6 minutes at the moment, but that could increase as we go here. Northbound 65, slow out in the north split to Meridian Penn, and inbound 69 still stop and go from an earlier stall. It's gone, but we're slow from 116th Street down to 82nd. Traffic sponsored by Drexel Interiors. Go where the pros go. Drexel Interiors for Timberlake Kitchen and Bath Cabinets. Visit Drexel's design centers at 146th Street and River Road or on North Shadeland online at DrexelIN.com. I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
We've got 40 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 8:40. Wait for it, 6. I can get into this right now. When did this song come out?
Early 2000s.
Matt Bear, what years were you dancing to this song in your bedroom alone?
2018 through 2021.
That sounds about right. Mm. This wasn't your COVID jam?
No.
I was pretty sure. This was your COVID jam. Turn it up. We need more boy bands on this show. Wait a second. No, we don't. Baby, bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I don't remember when the song came out. I don't remember when the song left. I do remember that there was a short amount of time that this is all you were allowed to hear according to law. It was like Ingsoc, and it was 1984, and you'd walk out, and instead of, that face just talking to you, all you'd hear is bye, bye, bye. And I didn't even know it's going to be May until I moved here. Right? The whole Justin Timberlake thing that we do for the month of May, which can we discuss is coming up? What has happened? Normally, I am not like this. I don't think time is moving quickly. People are like, oh my gosh, the kids, they grow up so fast. Oh my gosh, this... It's March. I have never, ever felt this way. I have no idea. I shouldn't say I don't know what happened. I was there. I know what happened. January and February moved awfully quick. They did. I mean, this is nutty. And May is around the corner. Around the corner. But yeah, I don't remember that when that song came out. All I remember is that there was a while there that you had to listen, or you were going to die. On Tony Katz today at noon, we do another show. It's called Tony Katz Today, and it is fantastic. We'll dig in more to the Texas story about how the Supreme Court said Texas can actually deport people who are in the country illegally. And the case got sent back to the Fifth Circuit, But the Fifth Circuit then ruled hours later, no, they can't. Well, who is the Fifth Circuit? Who in the world is the Fifth Circuit to say that the Supreme Court can't say this? So it gets brought back. They're like, well, we need to look at this to figure out what we're going to do. And you ask, well, what right does Texas have to deport anybody? It's a state. Immigration is a federal conversation. Texas is saying they have the right to protect and defend their citizens, and people are there illegally, they can send them back. Mexico's like, we won't take them. Who the hell is Mexico to decide what they're taking and what they're not taking? Can we be honest about the fact that they are not a friend? They're not a friend. We should be very, very clear about this. Not our friend at all. When you say, we can't send people back, why do you let people into the country? Why do you allow them to flow through the whole of Mexico? So we're going to get into this story. There's also a possible uprising once again in Cuba. We will take a look at that. Primary results from last night. Who is going to be running in these very important Senate races across the country? And, of course, the Federal Reserve. They may cut rates. I'm going to say no on that. And then there is there's this right here. This was a post from Rusty Weiss. I don't know Rusty. We follow each. He follows me. All right, I'm going to follow him back. I don't think I know. Do I know Rusty? I don't know if I know the dude. Maybe I do. Anyway, he put out a fascinating post on X. And very often you see this, these people who do the side-by-sides, right? Here's what I used to say, and here's what I say now, right? It's like for the former labor secretary under Bill Clinton, Robert Reich, you have to get vaccinated in order to save humanity. And then right next to it is a post that says, you can't tell a woman what to do with her own body. And you're like, wait a second. You said both those things, and I'm not supposed to notice? It's one of those. A defiant L's. Right, Carl? Producer Carl? Is that defiant L's does that all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, meaning people who are losers. But this was interesting. He's pointing out the New York Times. And one New York Times headline that shows a picture of Trump that states, what happens when you fight a deep state that doesn't exist? And he has that next to a screenshot from a video from the New York Times that reads, it turns out the deep state is actually kind of awesome. Well, do they exist or don't they? Does the deep state exist or not? Answer the damn question. You told everybody for years there is no deep state. This is a myth. This is a lie. This is this. And now you're like, oh, yeah, it's there. It's totally cool. Well, of course the deep state exists. What's your problem with it? I love when people get caught in a lie, caught in their nonsense denials, and they just turn into, yeah, of course. What's new here? There's nothing new here. Oh, you and your culture wars. And that's usually what they sound like. That impression is spot on. I think that's incredible. I think it's a really interesting story. I want to break that down a little bit more. I will do that on Tony Katz today at noon. Follow me on X at Tony Katz, and you'll see where the commies are super angry. And also, super terrible. It's every day now. It's every day that I get the post that says, don't worry, Hitler's coming back for you. That did happen. That was yesterday's. Social media. Thank goodness it's not actually real.